Fantastic has a big thing on it.
Really, really, say shit fantastic at will.
And that's how it starts, right?
Exactly.
We're going to hear this music loud and clear.
I know. Who knows? It maybe could be filtered out with one of the, you know, items programs.
It's not that different than speech, you know. Pretty hard. Really good.
Come to any conclusions?
Moving on.
Yeah, we hit the record button and we're moving on. You know.
These were better things.
Yeah. Wish we have nothing to say now.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we're done. That was easy.
You don't have to talk shit about people. What else do we have to talk about?
Well, if everything is a reflection of one, what actually are we perceiving? You know, if there is no two or duality or, I don't know, I'm presuming a lot there.
Well, it's fair enough to say, what are we perceiving without the extra, you know, mileage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do seem to be stuck on a different worldview that came from the movie that you don't find judgments of stuff outside yourself unless it lives here, and that's a reflection of the email that I have sent you.
Right, right.
So I was just curious. And yeah. I know for me, usually I can find just some version of everything here, no matter how bad I think it is out there.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It hasn't really gotten even here.
So what? It's the you mean the insight?
Yeah.
It hasn't seemed to have done anything. Fuck up.
Yeah.
And
that's where I've landed.
And yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. I mean, it's a nice observation, maybe for entertainment's sake, but yeah. Does it have utility, behaviorally, psychologically, spiritually?
Yes, I feel crazier than I ever have.
Wow.
I don't see
Me too. Yeah. Wow. Right. Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe a catharsis to silence occurs through such loud voices that you just can't process them anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, the more sensitive, let's say, we become to what's present, I mean, there's a lot of data.
You can't process the loud voices. You can't discriminate. You find utility in even trying.
Yes, sure. I mean, I would suggest that, biologically speaking, just a frame of reference, this is so remarkably sensitive to this that the data that's pouring in is absolutely nonlinear, atemporal, and completely dwarfs any capacity to try to compress or squeeze it into, right, convenient meaning-making.
The old paradigms just aren't kicking anymore.
They just don't kick, right? I mean, what does something like LSD do for our experience? Well, yes, you become overwhelmed, right? Not through any contemplative effort, but just by going, you know, here's to you, Owsley, right? You become overwhelmed by a data field that is not practical. It's impossible to manage, navigate, make any meaning of. Because by the time you even think you've got a handle on what just occurred, you've been drowned again by another 350-foot wave that's taking you under. And this is ongoing. Right? So something like LSD and, you know, mescaline, mushrooms, ayahuasca, you know, that reveal beatific, visionary experiences.
Or your standard psychotherapy experience.
Or, you know, or a good projection transference experience with your psychotherapist, yes, will give you a view that obliterates where you were a moment ago.
Yeah. So much for security, at least in that.
So let's call it, there's no possibility of any surviving solidity for security to even be a factor.
It's more a baseline of raw security. I mean, or what's underlying all of that, you know. I mean, it would be maybe perceived as security.
Well,
we want to call it.
Yeah, you don't really need to, you know, do the security formula.
Right.
Because that's off the table. There's no entity.
It's a human function.
There's no There's no capacity to stitch together a durable entity that could possibly benefit from or be in pursuit of security. There's no insecurity when there's no entity.
Yeah.
And there's no pursuit of security, but there's also no suffering of imaginary insecurity when there's no entity. So then there's no vector left. Yeah, so
does the volume of data come in just like almost negate the little I that you
have to do? Absolutely. Sure it does. I mean, let's say we speak about consciousness geometrically as if it can be seen temporally. So then we might say, oh, a data field which is immaculate and infinite, let's say beyond measure, will by its very nature, geometrically speaking, temporally speaking, obliterate a sense of I, a sense of entity, a sense of self. Because the data field is none other than the perception of the data field. It's not a data field and a perceiver. It's none other than itself. Right now, even our experience, perhaps not under the influence of drugs, but I'm not asking, the experience you're having right now is you know, non-dual in that the data and the perceiving is not two. The instantaneity of your present experience is not operating in time. It's not unfolding in time.
So the experience of kind of recoiling back from re-entrenchment of the self, to me it feels like a defense against the overwhelmingness of everything. I better grab onto something, some little neurosis that I can really hold on to.
Let's say.
And just hang there.
Let's say that were so, even worth investigating, are you doing that willfully, by choice? No, right? So if there is recoil of any kind, that's, right? Also just appearing, non-dually, if we're going to use that metaphor. It's not like you or I or anyone says, this is too much, I'm going to back off. Resistance and recoil is instantaneously appearing.
It just seems like the sheer volume of the wave or whatever,
yes,
is enough to do it. In other
absolutely
words, it's like there's no decision.
This present moment is enough to liberate you.
Yeah, if there's a decision making process, if anything, that gets in the way, I would say, because it could be
now you're looking at the entirety of the engine of what's referred to as samsara. That there's a processing going on that you imagine is yours, which creates the hallucination of an individual that may be bracing, recoiling, enjoying,
but it seems
aspiring or refusing.
It seems like there's this line, walking this line, where it's one step over and boom, color, you know, samsara to the hill. Or nothing.
Yes.
You know?
Well, erase the line.
Yeah.
Erase the line, because the two are interwoven. It's not over here are you hanging with the Buddha, and over here you're hanging with us.
That's the illusion, yeah.
That's the illusion. There is no line. So how weird is this? That it's presenting, expressing, non-dually, which meaning suggesting there is no entity other than, that the data is not other than the perceiving of the data, and there's no perceiver. So it's a mosh pit of singularity, and it is samsara and nirvana concomitantly. There's no line. Now, appreciating that, even metaphorically, it used to be you thought you were you, suffering from samsara, hankering for nirvana. Now, just by virtue of playing with it, oh, samsara and nirvana are not separate, they're the same. There is no line. And now, whatever you take yourself to be is more or less obliterated or out of the equation. You're perceiving the fact of being.
Well, it would have to be, or else you would be an entity in duality.
That's right. That's right. The hallucination of entity in duality is a miracle of nirvana.
It's funny because I don't, you know, you don't normally think of miracle in that way.
Oh, it is.
We normally think of miracles as good.
Yeah, we often think of a miracle as walking on water and doing the loaves and the fishes.
Yeah.
Something fun. And
right.
Rewarding.
Or let's say someone at Pebble Hill saying a kind word to me.
Yeah, let's make it personal.
Yeah, really, let's make it personal. Yeah, so here's the miracle. This miracle is the samsaric kernel of all phenomenal expression. It is the nirvanic kernel of nothing at all, going nowhere. And they're not opposite each other. And if we can feel, just for fun even, right? I'm not holding anybody to anything. What would be the point? Just for fun, if you can feel that you're neither the product of nirvana or the product of samsara, then there's no line. This is doing itself. Why concern yourself with it?
I was feeling the same earlier about the notion of guilt. I was feeling guilty about something,
yeah,
which I won't go into.
Yeah, TMI.
But then somehow I got a glimpse of the other side, the whatever, what's the opposite of the guilty one?
It's exonerated or...
you know.
Well, but, I like to hang out on that side.
Yeah.
The better one.
That's
the better
right,
side.
That's
narcissistic
right.
Asshole that's never wrong.
The narcissistic asshole that's never wrong side.
Very
yeah,
good.
There you go.
Oh, geez.
Thanks. High five.
Only Francine.
I was only speaking
only
for
Francine can come up with that. Yeah, and but somehow that made a difference. I realized, oh, this is just two sides of the same coin. You know, it's just...
Logistically, would you like to come here and pull that extra table out of the way?
You? No, I'm
you're good? If you're good, yeah.
I was just going
to
the sun.
Oh,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, that would put you in the sun.
Yeah. Understood.
I feel like I'm going to have a new table.
You can move with the
okay.
Cloth.
Our aimless aim would be to sense unencumbered freedom, even for a nano click. Just even for a nano click.
Gotcha.
That it was, that it's so. Unencumbered freedom is so. It will do the rest of the work. How could you resist it?
Yeah.
Right? You can't resist it. So we play around with, you know, philosophies and untoward behaviors and managing whatever shows up, either to our satisfaction or infuriation. Who cares, really? Right? But as we play along and stumble along in, call it, you know, samsaric conversation, it may be possible at any moment, through whatever bizarre means, that you have a view of absolute unencumbered freedom. And if that happens once, twice, three times, you're fucked. You're going down. Because yeah, you cannot resist it. Now, could we say that that moment, and who knows whether this moment occurred to me when I was 3 years old?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the crib, before, when I was pre-verbal. Maybe in situ. Maybe embryonic or amniotically, I was free. Right? Maybe in the midst of a fit of anger or disappointment or a wave of emotion that has no real story. Why is it that we tend to think, as the Buddhists might like you to believe, that liberation is the byproduct of nice things? Is that bullshit or what? If you're compassionate and loving and patient and you meditate and repeat, your chances for liberation are somehow improved? No, that's just not true. You know, if the Buddha were alive today, I would, you know, bow at his feet, right? Touch them to my head, then I would say, you fucking liar.
Well, it sells books, that's for damn sure.
Well, it appears to, yeah.
If you start out, you know, knowing your audience is human, you work with, you know, things that are appealing or you know, or
as a bookseller, you mean?
Or catchy. No, but I'm talking about the Buddhism.
With an agenda.
Particularly Tibetan Buddhism. Because I see that this tying in beautifully in that the stage before quote unquote enlightenment, even though it is a little heavy on self up to that point.
Yeah.
Everything, your deepest fears, your greatest problem, and your worst demons are in your face.
Oh yeah.
And then liberation is not that they disappear, but that they don't have any effect in some sense. It goes to a non-self.
Yeah.
You're teasing out saying you don't need to go through this whole process.
Seriously,
you know, you that non-self is already pre-existent.
It's stranger than that.
What?
We all like. When I was a kid and read comic books about superheroes, I was really fond of the invulnerability formula. Right? Well, you can't be injured physically, right? You can fly away from danger, you can breathe underwater, you can swim with great whites, you can be insulted by 7.3 billion people and just go to Saturn for a chill out. Right? Isn't it incredible how instinctively we all like to move toward invulnerability?
I like that.
Yes? What's the instinct there? If I may be so bold. Who, me? Be so bold. So this same kernel of absolute unencumbered freedom, I would suggest, check it out for yourselves, is the seed of your already incredible instinct of perfect invulnerability. You already know it. You knew it as a small child reading Green Lantern going, God, where's the lantern? I gotta find the lantern. You know? Right? Or yes, I am willing to go to Krypton. I mean, anything. Right? Batman was a little more exciting in that he was human, not invulnerable. You know, you could take Batman out if you had a mortar. But you could hit Superman in the chest with a mortar shell and he'd be looking to turn it into a toothpick. Yeah. So this kind of incredible hunger or glee, affection, love of invulnerability, meaning XYZ does not affect me, right, is the same kernel as your already prescient, complete understanding of unencumbered freedom. It's the same. You are the self, in a manner of speaking, the kernel of I, self, this, without cause.
The beauty of that realization is that there is, the pursuit won't get you more than what you already are.
It can't.
It's intrinsically. So there is no delay.
No.
And there is no process you must achieve properly in proper sequence to then realize something. It's intrinsic.
Yes. That's it. Here we are. This is the intrinsic moment. It's always been the completely invulnerable to itself, absolutely unencumbered and liberated moment, intrinsic moment. That's all you got. Really, that's all you got. So to set up a religion that says, well, if you improve yourself behaviorally and psychologically and spiritually and you purify and you eat the right things, you speak the right things, and you don't gossip, you don't hit on people after a meditation circle, things like that, liberation is more likely to occur to you. This is absolute unmitigated horseshit from hell.
Well, it's also all about control.
It speaks.
Yes.
It speaks to lots of people, myself.
Unless you're not.
Because of how I think we've been culturalized. Like, if you work hard enough, you get it. If you, like, as children, like, you get that meat into you because you get the cookies if you're doing the right thing.
We treat our children as we do our dogs.
That's it. I'm getting a cookie.
Did you do something good?
I can buy a cookie. See, that's the difference between the dog and the human. The human's like waiting for a cookie. The human's like, I can buy a cookie. That's all.
That makes me superior to you, dog.
Otherwise, you have to beg for the cookie before your dog.
Have you ever asked a dog to fetch a cookie for you? Have you ever gotten it? hey, you were supposed to fetch that. Fetch what? Fetch what? Fetch what?
Try again.
Give me a second chance, Master. Give me a second chance. So now, the ingress, right, to liberation, whatever that means, who cares, is not the consequence of anything. There's no preparation.
Thank God.
Truly.
There has to be preparation.
No, there's can. No, there can be.
Go through all these hoops. The message that it's just inherently here.
Yes.
Makes infinite sense.
That this is so is does the trick. And every moment, curiously enough, this is so. Where's the delay? You mean I have to read 350 volumes written by people commenting on commentary on commentary on what the Buddha may or may not have said in order to be more eligible for liberation? Oh my God, sell the set. Sell the whole set. Get rid of it.
I like the lazy liberation theory. Not theory, but...
Yeah.
It's kind of like lazy yoga, but it's like lazy liberation. It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Leisure suit liberation.
It is. It's, yeah, Larry leisure suit liberation, yeah. Leisure suit Larry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why the Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment? I've read a couple times.
Is it good? Uh-huh.
That's a book. Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, I always enjoyed it. I like it. It's real thin.
You'd think.
Favorite kind.
You'd think.
Pictures.
Yeah. Now that you started reading this
like
book, put up a pot of Java and go get a cookie.
Yeah.
Mm. I'll join you in 5 minutes.
Guys, you're welcome.
Yeah,
to
I like the response to that gal that invited people to the gathering, you know, that thing. Whatever it was, samsaric stories. You know, hopefully she comes. But it doesn't, it sounds like a different trip for her.
Hey, I have somebody you could pursue. There's a big sign as I'm driving here.
Yeah.
It's outside of a, it's like a horse place. It's got, she invested a bit in these signs.
Yeah.
It was like equine. Is equine like that's the word for horse?
Horse. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Equine equanimity.
I'm not getting the word exactly right.
Yeah, that's what
like,
I was thinking.
Equanimity.
That'd be a good name for a horse.
Equine inspired enlightenment.
Really?
What?
Nice.
Yeah, you need horses to do this.
Is that what the sign says?
Oh, yeah, you need horses to do this.
Horse people, man. What are we talking about then?
They're
the
already
day?
So blissfully happy.
The days have it.
They don't need anything.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I recently just...
They got their horse.
They are extremely...
You have a lot of horses.
Psychic, for a lack of a better word.
Horse
they
sense.
Can read people's thoughts.
Right.
That's why they're so jittery, because you have to keep your mind... very sensitive apparently when what you're doing when you're the horse very well, that's why like horses don't like certain people, you know what I mean? Or the
well, the horse whisperer was real big, and they made a big deal out of it. Like, if you would go like this, it was a whole different. That was the original, before the dog whisperer.
We went from,
horse whisperer.
We went from
oh, I'm glad I know that now.
We went
thank
from pitbulls, too.
If you would go like this, like, okay, go in a circle, you know, the horse would be all. But if you go like this, I mean, it all relates to, like, evidently, you know, past.
We're talking about
instinctual
Robert
things.
Redford as the horse whisperer.
I think he played that part or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was
do
a great
you know,
it was a real guy.
Did you see the documentary yeah. about the real guy?
I think I did.
No.
Buck. Have you seen Buck?
No.
Please,
no.
Please, no. Please, rent
well,
and watch
Buck. I don't even
want to
Buck. Hear your stuff about the horse whisperer until you've at least seen the movie Buck.
I did.
That's
a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that was different.
Oh,
like these little movements, because
down.
They would relate to who knows, caveman or whatever, that would like throw stuff at them. So that, you know, they see certain actions as hostile and other actions as okay.
Yeah.
But, that's all. I'm done. Carry on.
Carry on. Talk amongst yourselves.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
I had a teacher who used to say
one story.
Horses are among the four sacred animals. They're on an evolutionary path.
I think
horses, beavers,
of
course.
Horses, elephants,
all for a ride.
Oh,
dogs and cats.
I'm in.
I'm in.
I'm in. So we have a relatively simple, if not startling, observation, which, curiously enough, is impossible to hold on to. That's part of its fun.
Or explain.
Yeah. Yes. So this this notion of there being a line, let's say, between samsara as lamentable human experience, or even exciting human experience, and nirvana being, right, the prescient direct encounter with nothing at all, right? Cessation and nirvana. It wasn't that you're having the best time ever in your life, right? Cessation and nirvana suggests you don't know what this is. You've put all your weapons down. You just went through the rabbit hole of phenomenality into, right, unspeakable. The unspeakable.
I feel a tendency to walk the line. I walk the line.
I walk the line.
And
have you seen that movie?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Another good one.
Yeah.
But you know, it almost seems like there is some kind of progression, and you can say there's no progression, but if you don't walk the line a little bit,
well,
you realize that there is no line.
Well, let's say. That's what we're dreaming at. Let's say you're reviewing your life, and you're certainly, you know, charmingly welcome to do so. So it appears in the imagination of you that you have gone through a progression, right? And we can say that about anyone that might be interested in a conversation like this, that something looking like a progression most likely occurred. Yeah?
I would say
it's a historical thing.
Well, language proves that. We could be barking at each other, but we're talking in English, and we understand each other.
So this fondness for reviewing the catharsis of my so-called life to so-called lead me to here with you is only imaginarily conjured here.
Can't wait till that goes away.
It needn't cease. This moment, like as in all the others that anyone may have been privileged to live, had no lasting impact. So that this dreams, the samsaric, right, miracle, that this dreams, and in what we call primate experience, it appears to dream in storyboarding. Right? You're a scrapbooker. You've got pictures and icons and trinkets and favorite clothes or medals someone got when they came in through Ellis Island, right? And you're putting it up on a nice oak keg board at their funeral, which is your own. So we can do this and do it with aplomb, do this in an artistic manner, right? We can dream and do dream in a profoundly artistic manner. Even as ordinary folks, though everyone at this table has, you know, clearly all kinds of artistic, expressive, magical powers. You're not necessarily being paid to be an artist, but everyone at this table has all kinds of artistic gifts where the profundity of dreaming operates through, right, the stuff of phenomenal expression and conjures or reveals back that same pristine awareness of invulnerability and unencumbered being. This never stops, right, revealing and reflecting pure invulnerability and release of the view of unencumbered being. Never stops. It can't. Concomitant with that gift that is obviously unearned is the storyboarding, that it storyboards as well, to make it appear as if you're the product of something, the consequence of something operating in space-time called the mirror or mirage of your articulatable life.
Which is also a gift, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
It's awake, you know. It's...
Yeah. And they're not two or separable. the imagination that anything could possibly be separable from something else is the movement of the storyboarding. See? That's why it's impossible to outwit what this is. You cannot outwit it from the vantage point of being a symptom of it. It's too late. You're already a symptom. Where are you going? You're a puppet on a string. Where are you going? I'm going to cut this string. Good luck.
I think you said this before, but the need for, to lose the need for resolution, you'd be there.
Here we are. Here we are. Yeah. Here we are. Yeah. Yes. Right. So the real real yoga then is, well, do I relax the thymus, the thyroid, the spleen, right? Am I doing hatha or pranayama or nada yogas to relax, right? The kundalini? No. Though that they can come in handy. If we do...
Here
they
are.
I think
they're sitting right there.
I wonder if they have a word for the...
Why don't we follow them like zombies?
See if they wave or something.
Give me a horse.
Oh, there's no horses in there.
We could jump in and whinny.
Whinny. I've had a good whinny lately.
Now let's take out this and see what happens.
I feel like horses' asses.
You never know.
Yeah. Oh, that is so funny.
Really? Maybe they're going to call animal control, have us all rounded up at once.
Hey, maybe they want Fred. They got a nice, looks
what,
like a
what
female.
Did she do?
Yeah. I just picked up a vibe from her. I said, I wonder if he, when we were like, I don't know if I picked up a vibe or what.
You're more horsey there. Than you know.
So, we were talking about horses, right? And then I happened to glance over.
Could have been a horse blessing in disguise.
It was.
Yeah.
May I tell a little story? We came down from a, I think it was like a four or five-night retreat up in Vermont. And this, it's a woman who, she and her partner have a little place up on the top of a hill that has no, you know, no tie into the grid at all. And it was absolutely fabulous. A group of us had been up there for 5 days doing the work. Just lovely. Calm down, and she's a horse person. And she has this one young, absolutely gorgeous horse that's very spirited. Myself and another man go over to say kind of hi to this horse. And this horse comes up, and he's like, this guy's wearing suspenders. This horse is like plucking his suspenders and untying his shoes. Just messing with him. And I'm like, after this was all done, I'm like, do you have the same story I do, that horses are dangerous animals? He's like, yeah. This horse was just messing with him. Like, totally playful, just messing with him. It was really pretty funny. And I'm like, uh-oh, really, you know, horses are dangerous. But she was being very open, allowing us to be in this academy.
Catherine, you know where the microwave is in here, don't you, to get really hot? I just discovered it from a bagel and I thought of you.
Yes, I was quite delighted when I discovered that myself.
Your coffee isn't hot enough when you get it from the spigot.
It's never hot enough until she microwaved.
It's never. No.
I thought about that.
It's never good enough.
There are a lot of work. Do you?
It's like my men.
Yeah. So it's like boiling.
Boiling hot. It's never hot enough.
Yeah, but never boiling
right.
Hot enough.
The inside out.
No, 10 more seconds.
Yeah. Okay. I'd love to. We're going to do. Anybody else want to? We're going to do the E-point out here. Okay.
Is it free?
I'll get the information.
Are you paying?
I'll get the information and I'll send it.
Is there a scholarship fund?
There might be. Do you want to go?
Ireland.
I don't do anything that gets me out of the house.
Smell coffee.
If you feel this
<You've got it. laughs>
from the textural vantage point of, let's just call it wonder, which is the same as no measurement, no reference.
No resolution.
No resolution. Here this is. No reference, no resolution.
Heaven.
Perfect ambiguity. A causal. A without destination. Always on tap. Never a so-called moment when this revelation, this texture is not so. So what happens to the likes of me? Distraction in measure, in reference, in story, in continuity. Right? Yes, so the imagination of a life having been somewhere, being somewhere now, and hopefully, ideally, being somewhere else later, is imagined instantaneously, right, along with, woven with, not before or after, but concomitantly woven with wonder, measureless wonder.
The soundtrack here is always so appropriate. It tastes like music. I can just suddenly, you know.
Okay, let's all dance.
Nothing else but this is...
Kumbaya on C sharp.
Yeah.
Now, if we become more friendly with forgetfulness or the samsaric miracle, friendly with means I'm not overwhelmed, I'm not overcome, I'm not berating myself, I'm not fixing anything, right? I'm not trying to have a better life a moment from now. I'm not correcting everyone else's behavior that doesn't appear to agree with me or make me safe. So at each moment, once you get this, right, nano-moment taste of absolute unencumbered being, and then that's, let's say, brought to your consciousness, acknowledged, right? Just acknowledged. Now you have really all the tools you'll ever need for recognition that this is nirvanic and samsaric concomitantly, and you live in neither place.
Wouldn't it be more appropriate that it lives in neither place?
Sure.
Well, there's no it either.
Whatever it is, it seems to see through these eyes and
yeah.
through this skin.
Right.
There's something that's just so not. The best to put it is just like infinitely quiet.
Yeah, I mean, some.
Not the quiet or totally expressive, you know.
Yeah, quiet or not.
Well, it's like it takes it in from the spot of infinite quiet. It's so freaking quiet. I mean, like. Like sucks you in a wind that's silent wind that's so quiet.
Yep.
Not even sucks you in,
and that quietude, that depth of silence, that solemnity, impersonal solemnity, is also crazed, expressive, loud as can be, genocidal.
I came back from an audio retreat one time. Myself driving around with my stereo on full blast. I mean full freaking blast. I never do that. It's just too much fun. I had it up full blast. I'm like, okay, let's see how well designed these German cars are. Am I going to blow the speakers or not at full blast? If it's well designed, I can.
Well, the Dionysian frenzy that the ancient Greeks would go through. It would rip people to pieces and animals to pieces.
It's Dionysian frenzy.
Is that the opposite of the Apollonian, the god of wine?
Yeah, the followers of the god Dionysus would get into states of
wine and merriment.
Total
that was Bacchus.
Ecstasy.
Or drunkenness.
Was it Dionysus, wine, and merriment? I thought it was Bacchus.
total take.
Dionysius and Bacchus are the same person. I think different different languages. Yeah. And they would go in and... They're the same god. Their adherents could go into these ecstatic frenzies where they wound up like ripping animals to shreds. They were just so expressive.
That's expressive.
Oh, that sounds so expressive. I ripped your face off. Sorry.
Sounds like Rajneesh.
My mother made me do it.
Animal.
Better luck next time.
And the Greeks invented rationality.
Out of guilt.
Yeah, out of guilt. I'm in the Dionysic frenzy.
They invented rationality out of guilt.
We're killing the cat.
Yeah.
So there's an... You could say as we become more intimate with whatever it is we're playing with. We can't say what it is. Perhaps a certain quality of elasticity occurs in your present experience, which feels its way into the absolute, the unencumbered nature, so that all care and concern for the durability, success, or security of my so-called life is liquidated. Yes? You are liquidated. Your investment in anything other than this here now, even though there's no here and there's no now and hardly a this, as that your interest, your investment becomes absolutely liquidated, you wouldn't dare say that consciousness is the product of the body. You return, not that you could ever have departed from, but you return from a conscious, cognizant, textural relationship with this absolute.
Return from?
You become unhinged from distraction. You unhinge from distraction, and then in a manner of speaking, return. Though it's not temporal, no time elapses. You unhinge from distraction, you return to this immeasurability, where you no longer have the slightest investment in what may appear to be occurring.
Even though it occurs just as much as it ever has.
That's right. It is...
Still nothing.
Here it is.
I'll give you a giant eraser. Good luck. Yeah. So the erasure of this as a phenomenal miracle is inward, not... It's introverted. It's not extroverted. The erasure is just... Is this itself. Because it is both nothing at all and all this. Could you say that the nothing is primary and the all this is secondary? Not really. Not really. Because the moment you suggest that the nothing is primary and that the expression is secondary, you're back in a, call it a, right? Dually minded.
Categorization.
Yeah, you're back in measure. Yeah. So, mind as language and comparison, right, the incredible gift of comparison, can only operate apparently as measure. That's call it the samsaric mind, the mind that's invested in the outcome of my life. Right?
It's really good at it.
And it is really good at it.
Is that mind that's invested in the whole thought stream that seems to move through and get stuck in that? It doesn't really go away. You just don't pay attention.
See, it might be fun to see that it's not even true. The only reason I can say the mind that gets invested, et cetera, is because you and I are reflecting upon it now as if it actually existed a moment prior to now or that it exists now. It doesn't. It didn't really exist a moment ago. It doesn't really exist now. But it dreams, right, in situ. So it calls itself the mind and then is really happy to say something about itself. See how present it is? How uniquely, remarkably present it is. We can't really refer to a mind of the past. So if you look into the miraculous nature of the samsaric engine, it conjures mind in situ, and then imagines that it is other than the mind that it's just conjured. But it's not.
You know, and this is just throwing out something. It occurred to me this morning that no matter where my mind was going, I was in a little bit of a, you know, hostile, not hostile. That was
pissy.
Negative.
Pissy. Yeah, there were, no matter what pissy. I thought about, good or bad, there was this tone.
Oh, yeah.
And this early this morning, waking up with a light, you know, I'm like, how come, even if I'm thinking about things that are not bad, I got this underlying tone?
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's
and
right.
It's not what I would call a thought. It's an underlying feel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, why is this thing, you know? And I don't know how to categorize.
Bacterial outgassing.
Yeah, right.
No, I can think, actually.
Are you regular?
Not regular enough.
After a good Led Zeppelin concert and a good defecation, I'm good to go.
Well, that's you.
Yeah, that's just me.
But, you know, it's, you know how we like to parse things and we got thoughts then and feelings and, you know, and emotions. And
yes.
Things. But there is this something that I don't know where it fits in the psych books, but there is this tone.
Yeah.
And, that's the most annoying thing with when that tone is south. You
yeah,
know?
Right.
And so when it's north, it's like, well, I feel good today. You
go
know?
To the
yeah.
go to the, always go to the tone.
Yeah.
Just go to the tone.
And
even if it sucks.
Especially yeah. then.
Mm-hmm. Because you go there, it sucks. You're there. What next?
Yeah, I'm actually, I feel like I've been doing
yeah
the
okay. Don't do that.
Lately.
Still here. What
and
next?
I just keep thinking it's okay.
Yeah, there it is.
The tone is nirvanic freedom. But we avoid the tone. We justify the tone.
Yeah.
We attempt to medicate or ameliorate
and
that
all
tone.
These reasons yeah. for the tone.
We try to wiggle away from the tone. So if you're feeling good, one becomes grasping.
Yeah.
This is fucking great. It better stay this way or someone's head's going to roll. Usually my own, right? Or, this really sucks. If it doesn't go away soon, and I mean soon, someone's head's going to roll. Usually mine. Always go to the tone. We suffer, let's say, when such a tone is present. And we avoid it. We try to wiggle away from the tone, thereby creating the imagination of a durable being that's now on a mission from God called escape.
Or bullying.
Anything. Well, no, that's another conversation. No, that's good sense.
Now,
that's good sense.
I would say, though, that there's this temporality where this tone, and maybe even to some extent recognizing this tone, but maybe too late.
Find the bliss in the
for
tone.
I see that the tone is unraveling in my present experience.
Absolutely,
you know?
It is. That's
so,
the whole idea.
So, you know, coming down, I find myself creating, and I mean creating my own irritability.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And
sure.
And it's an
you're
extension.
An artist.
It's an extension of the tone. And I'm kind of like dealing with that. on the way up here, you know, especially.
Yeah.
And before a little bit. But, you know, just like,
right.
Did I really say that or do that? You know, it's like,
yes.
It's just a...
Yeah. Right.
It came straight out of the poem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always want to spiritualize it. I want to give myself the whole story and wrap it in something nice. Like, oh, this is
a
process.
You're probably really fun to have around Christmas. Did you get a gift from Nan? It's perfect. I'm never going to open it.
Yeah, it's perfect until you open it.
I like that reference, unencumbered.
But it's really good shit.
Because the opposite of unencumbered is I choose, I plan, I did well, I failed.
Yeah,
you know,
it's very encumbered.
Shit. Really?
Yes.
And I, even though there's an I that feels some relief from that when I get down
or it tells you it does.
Into the unencumbered, even that activity occurring, there's no encumbrance. In a place of landing that's being suggested here.
Yeah.
You know, even in that activity.
Yeah.
And that's that tone I can relate. That's very interesting.
Yeah, go to the tone. It's let it proliferate. The moment we wiggle out of or away from, right, we've invested in a durable self, having a not-so-pleasant moment, that is now swirling in justification, amelioration, medication, blame, right? Victimization.
You know,
the
swirling,
right?
Around, though, seems to hit certain things so that you reflect on the whole deal in such a way, I'm just speaking from my present.
Yeah.
Just recent experience, that all of a sudden it's like, this is, if there's any choice anywhere, this is a choice that I'm making, is to feel like this, taking my guilt personally, and the other side of it personally, and that's arbitrary.
It is
totally arbitrary.
Yes,
you know, and it's not doing anything but
swallowing
me
all up. All durability of self is an arbitrary mirage.
But it seems like there's purpose in a sense. I mean, going through that little teeny tiny drama, which is really a speck.
Fair enough.
Again,
this story is appearing right here. And so everyone is welcome to be their own MC.
Yeah.
You can't stop it anyway. You may as well MC the story of you. Freedom is strange, then, in what we're implying by liberation or freedom. Is, I don't know what it is. Maybe a word was spoken hastily. There was already some irritability going on. You know, we got caught in a kind of a spontaneous crosshairs, and right, someone inadvertently insulted someone else, you know, made a joke that didn't land right. Right, defended themselves from a psychic kind of encumbrance without even being aware of it, right? And so, yeah.
Well, okay, in my case, it was extending the guilt. It was trying to pull it back to a nice, harmonious oneness, but not really wanting to do that either.
Oh, I see. So you're being a passive-aggressive motherfucker and trying to get away with it.
Yeah.
High five.
Yeah. Well,
I live there.
Well... going so far.
I've seen
but only so far. You know.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
It's like where the expectation was, oh, you know, it's like, no.
Yeah,
no, like
that. Yeah, really.
Not that.
Really, I'm really trying to needle you, but it looks like resolution. We're good. I mean, all of these tension waves that we experience within our own psyche or in relationship or something that, you know, how's this bounding down the stairs asking someone on a date in an appropriate or inappropriate manner is just bacterial outgassing.
Chimps are us.
Is it strange to see that all the content of your consciousness is nothing other than bacterial outgassing? Can you take it? Can you take it?
It's way better than taking it as real.
That self-importance is so heavy.
Isn't it heavy?
Yeah, it's very heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the place where, let's say, the discovery of self-importance or the absence of self-importance has the most benefit is where? Well, in you. Right? I mean, interpersonally, it might be... It's nice interpersonally if we can hang out together without the laying down of self-importance. So we're more elastic, a little more humorous. We can dream with greater lucidity. Yeah? I mean, if a human, if whatever a human is, right, wanted to have the most fun, I would say it would be able to dream inwardly and or with others as if there were others, with complete ease and elasticity, invulnerability, trust, affiliation.
It really, really would. You're right.
What does that
mean? Yes. I mean, really, we're so gifted.
Yeah, yeah,
we're
incredible.
I mean, we've been handed this incredible
We're incredible.
Gift, and we just tried to trash it.
Yeah, that's right. We trash it. Really. Yes. Yep. The word I is just shorthand for a suffering bag of shit that's going nowhere.
Yeah. but if you dreamt...
Not only in
dreams. If you dreamt of invulnerability, you might also then going on to dream of the perfect life, which just be creating circumstances with other people.
Art.
Everything that we're doing.
Art. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where does heavy judgment come in? You know, on ourselves or on others?
Where does it come in?
How does it,
How does it launch?
Yeah, how does it launch? There you go.
Yeah, how does it launch? Well, it can, because since this is bacterial outgassing, that can occur and does occur.
And it's part of the entertainment value.
Yes.
Really?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's say you're hanging out and you're in a situation where there might be a little stress or this or that, you know, and you were let's say a more elastic, right? Right? swaying, right? Samba, right? Right? Guy, kind of guy. You would say, if I stay in this situation a moment longer, some shit's going to go down, and I'm going to go outside right now. You know? Now, wouldn't it be remarkable to see how often that would be valuable? We think we go through a day staying in the room. Most of the time, we should be going out for a break. Because we do process these levels of irritability and insecurity and projection quite frequently. But we think the polite thing to do is stay in the room and then insult each other. When it's like, I'm loving you so much, I'm out of here. Because I'm insane. Most of the office buildings, everyone would be on the street. No one would be in the building. They'd all be on the street going, I can't go there, man. I love you too much. I can't go there. I can't go back to my cubicle. I got to hang right here. I'm on a timeout.
And the valuable thing is to recognize that from the get-go, not to go halfway down the road and then say, okay.
Well, we get better at it. Yeah. And even if it doesn't happen, c'est la vie, made a mistake, boo-boo, sorry. We should all be kissing each other out in the street going, sorry for the boo-boo, sorry. hey, Mac, are you going back to the third floor? No, I'm just going to stay right here and kiss everybody. No, big boo-boo, can't move. I mean, corporate America would collapse. Would just collapse. All the soldiers would put their weapons down saying, I'm not going to kill anybody today. No, I don't care. I'm done. So if we were having a lot of fun with what humans, as if there were any, could do, it could be an art fest. It's Woodstock every fucking day. And, curiously, you could say within the context of present technological prowess, even with 7.3 billion, right?
It's just more fun.
We have the capacity. We have the capacity to manage the environment, manage the fisheries, manage the air quality, manage the energy, so that this could be Woodstock every day.
Yeah, we can do it.
Yes?
We might. I'm not betting on it, but we might. Possible.
whether we get there or not is a lovely Pollyanna to feel. And I'm suggesting that, we could do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? there's nothing really in the way of this being Woodstock 69 or whenever every single day and Santana's up next. You know? Oye, como va? Yeah, really. Everyone just drains out of the high rises and goes, oye, como va? Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's nitrous tanks all over the place, smoking doobies in the Target. Hey, Fred, how you doing? I forgot what I came in for. Hey, I'll get you something. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. May I have...
Oh, you have to go see Get the Lead Out. Yeah, you can't be still.
Yeah, go see, yeah. Get the Lead Out. Get the Lead Out. And Led Zeppelin tribute bands on every corner.
Oh, my God.
That's my idea, right?
They were better than that, really. There's no way they could have Led Zeppelin.
I had to keep getting up.
Huh?
I had to keep getting up and moving.
I don't think they were really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple people started dying.
Cool. That's cool.
They're sharing it nasty because the drug was backlash.
Shit happens. Yeah. Stuff happens. It's the inner freedom, the inner relaxation, the inner unencumbrance that is the true revolution.
I always wonder.
Jamie, you want to have a
little flashes of...
Jamie, take two.
Ooh.
Is it possible?
Maybe you want something.
Maybe I can score. Yeah.
Maybe I can steal someone else's food. My name is Jamie.
That's the tagline for the day. Maybe I can score. Something. Anything. Any food? Would you like to go to date?
Another food.
That has been the tagline for the day.
Woohoo. God, I hope I score something today.
I scored a pretty nice souffle, I have to say. That's right. On my ticket.
Ooh,
now.
Wow. A saucy little souffle.
Saucy.
I wonder he's racked with guilt.
Where does your wife know?
And she meditates.
Anybody ever have the sense that they might be the only one that doesn't see it? Like everybody else is awake?
No, ever since I was born!
That's it?
I have this recurring nightmare where I'm going through a supermarket, you know, and trying to find some stuff, and there's a little kid, and he's holding his mom's hand, and he goes, "Mommy, mommy, is that him?" And she goes, "Shh, shh, shh," and I'm like, "He's pointing at me. He's pointing at me." He goes, "Mommy, mommy, is that the last enlightened guy, unenlightened guy on the planet? Is that the last one?" Shh, yeah, leave him alone. Leave him alone. It's cool. And I'm like, "You mean everyone else?"
Like, they're all wind-up zombies coming at you specifically to just freaking wake you up.
Yeah,
see,
that's
true, though.
But that's, like, the simulation. Like, it's a simulation that is, like, you're just doing the simulation, right? Like, no one else is really...
Nobody else is real.
Yeah.
Well.
That was one of the invitations that Katie put out there was, you know, what if you woke up one day and you were the only one on the
right.
Would you be okay?
Carlos, that's why I'm pointing his pinky at things to see if they have energy.
was she suggesting the sole human on the planet?
I think she meant the sole human.
I was going to say, if there's animals, I'm cool.
But she didn't get into animals, just
the sole inhabitant of your experience.
And, like,
yeah.
Some of the things that she suggested you go into during that time frame it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, visceral experience.
Look at your present experience. Your present experience is all. And you are the sole inhabitant of that experience. Not that inhabitant and you and experience are, you know, two or three different things. This is.
Yes.
This is. And is there anything possibly outside yourself? It may appear so, but everything is appearing in your experience, and you are the sole inhabitant of that experience.
One of the best pieces of evidence for that, at least as far as, like, human faces are concerned,
yeah,
is even if you are something specific separate from me, I can't even see you other than through my lens.
That's right.
So you are not a firm, fixed Jeff entity. You're whoever I...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one day you might kind of look right. devilish. The other day you
yeah.
look like really okay.
One day maybe Finn. Maybe Finn. Someday maybe Finn.
Not in my experience.
Not in my experience, but yeah.
See that idea.
Oh, my God.
See that happening.
Let's set a more modest approach. Thinner is always good. Don't go too far.
Really.
Maybe they shouldn't call that section self-growth.
Less carbohydrates, that's important.
Whatever helps.
How about the no self section?
We'd have a cool. lot more members if this was like, you know, kind of a get thin.
Yes.
Get thin program.
We'd meet at the Weight Watchers outdoor table.
Yeah.
Starting with my hair.
Right. Well, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, see? That's right. Why would you be here?
You really?
You graduated a long time ago.
Enlighten your way to getting thin.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And bring your horse.
The enlightenment guide to weight loss, yeah.
Lose yourself and all your pounds to boot.
I'd say this is the opposite process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
How to gain weight quickly.
Mass.
Loiter, eat.
And mass.
And not care what you look like.
So clearly the dreaming persists, right? Repartee, repertoire, repeating.
It's the relationship to the dream. You
know. Yeah. Right.
You said it.
Yeah. There's no real value or utility in trying to meditate one's self to freedom from mind or freedom from thought.
Knowing how instantaneous this all is, I mean, meditation just becomes more and more absurd.
It is absurd, yeah. It
you
is.
You can meditate for 4 hours and wake up and be right back where you started from.
Yeah. But what if meditation has no objective? I mean, I don't sit in order to get somewhere or to do something. One sense is it's relief from this, hearing this. You know, even though it's going on inside my head.
As an activity, yeah. But you're right. It's not as a point to get anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it can be divine. It can be hellish.
No, I can enjoy meditation.
You know, minus the commentary. Until afterwards, of course.
A cigarette and a cup of coffee is as good as a cushion for the sublime.
This doesn't matter.
Well, I think Ramana Maharshi, was he thinking, oh, I'm going to sit and meditate? I mean, he just sort of did what came naturally to him.
Like anybody, right? Like, you go to meditation, you're like, today I'm going to be like this, and then next 5 minutes later, you're like, why am I crying? Does anybody know why?
Well, but, you know, there's this...
Why won't my mom, you know, right? It never looks like what you want it to look like.
But, I mean, if you actually do what you want to do and find yourself sitting there, I mean, is that meditation? You know, meditation is just a label that is slapped onto.
Yeah, it probably is more honest to call it sitting, like you would do.
Yeah.
You would refer to it as sitting as opposed to meditation.
Yeah.
You know, meditation implies some process, some objective.
Oh, and a lot of time, remember, you know, one of those classes.
Looks exactly the same.
It was this gal who was, she was like, one of these people out of India who she wanted to become the whatever the female guru is called. She wanted to be the guru and show some guy that she could have a greater following. She started this whole thing. It's Satya Yoga or something like
Satya.
That.
Satya.
No, that's not it. But it's like you go through this whole thing about protecting your aura, you know, this all this. Protective sheaths that you put on, there's a lot of movement
white
and
light,
stuff.
White light.
And then you go on into it knowing that you're protected from all the bad vibes that are out there. I mean, it's that quite
that.
A process.
It's,
that,
that, is it, it's that same invulnerability
that.
Hook.
Yeah.
Right? The,
oh, yeah.
The thirst for invulnerability.
I was flashing on that when you were saying that. I was thinking, oh, yeah.
A lot all this of stuff. Spiritual sales pitches are about getting vulnerable. Getting invulnerable. You know, here, come do my process, and I'll make sure you're involved.
And when we see that this this thrill, this affection for invulnerability, is the same as an instinct for the presence of freedom, then we might not get seduced by it quite the same way, hooked by it. There's an immediacy. If we're gonna satisfy the appetite for invulnerability, we may as well do it here. We may as well do it now. That true invulnerability is not that one is of a durable nature and impervious to harm. True invulnerability is the collapse of the mirage of a durable nature.
Right, we're always happy. You're always meditative.
Then the vulnerability just sort of disappears. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
It all just sort of disappears.
Yes, all disappears.
Yeah, it used to irritate me that I'm in a bubble of light and only light can come to me and only light be here. And in my head, I changed it. I said, I am like this radiant sun and all that comes to me is transformed. And, right? It's just about boundaries and negativity and stuff. You know? I mean, not that I'm not capable of producing mirages of quote-unquote negativity to someone else.
I felt like I always instinctively knew if you had to protect yourself, you were on the wrong track. You know, because you've already said you're in danger.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So you really got to believe you're not in danger in the first place.
But if you live in this world for any length of time, you realize it's pretty good to be prudent, you know? You don't run red lights without looking.
Well, it starts with a physical vulnerability, you know.
It's doing itself. It really is doing itself. How any of us got to be, quote, here, in apparently adult bodies, with marginal adult sensibilities, having made some choices along the way to go into a meeting rather than back to madness, right? You could say that all of this has done itself. Nobody can take credit for anything.
You sure want to. Because it gives the illusion of control. Credit for it, but it seems like you can control.
Okay, and control and any interest in possessing control is another kind of congested response to the urgency for invulnerability. And invulnerability, in a manner of speaking, is kind of a congested reflex to the miracle that you're already through. So just keep drilling back, right? The yoga of radiant presence, or whatever we do, is we're here, we're kind of drilling back from, right, the fermentation of ideation, going back to
the primordial ground.
the primacy of this being. All ideation ceases, all justification and conclusions, stories cease. Our awareness is originally present in the primacy of being, as the primacy of being.
Because I think it's also very mathematical. It's a zero-sum game. The minute we take credit, we set up taking blame for something else. we're little computers. Like,
a bounce.
Yeah. Like so that's why you wind up, no, I don't want to take credit, so I don't have to take blame, you know?
Yeah,
and it won't, and obviously it doesn't work when we try to be vigilant in that manner.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Right.
And it doesn't matter because there is no credit. In the end, there is. It's just being done.
in the end as now. Yeah.
In the now.
In the end as in right here, none of these things are... I mean, really, what's relevant to the miracle of being?
What surpasses the miracle of being?
What's the next step beyond?
Yeah, enough with the miracle of being. What else you got?
I need something to strive for.
Yeah, really. Really. Yeah, can I return this? Yeah. Can I return this? Who do you think we are, Nordstrom's? Hey, this miracle of being, I don't know, it didn't quite fit.
Can you weave some abundance into this?
Yeah.
Yes, then you're becoming.
Really.
Unbecoming.
I'm kind of enjoying the miracle of being, but other people are accusing me of being less than compassionate. Can I get this year's model?
Yeah. Is it Halloween yet?
Right.
Dress up as something else.
I keep getting pestered by this. Whoever the new guy is, Charles, three names. Yeah, it's right here. I mean, Neil Donald Walsh.
Oh, yes.
He wants you. He's harassing you?
Yes. Like, he's my good buddy. Jamie, you're missing out.
Jamie, like he's my
Yeah, really. Hi, Jamie.
This is one of the guys with the multi-level book scam.
Well, he's Conversations with God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's multi-level. I think I've gotten the same. He starts multi-level marketing harassing.
Yeah.
I mean, the man who talks to guys.
Yes. His multi-level marketing.
Apparently wasn't enough.
Yeah, he questioned that miracle a bit.
Wasn't enough.
I mean, somebody sold my name from a list to him.
It was me.
I was wondering how you
think
he is
evil. I knew it. Now we know why he doesn't show up.
I just thought how you, I just wanted to see how you might cope with God, that's all. Or Neil.
Same Bill.
Yeah, it's the same.
Do you
hey,
kneel
Neil,
before
hey, send
God?
Unbelievable amounts of email to Jamie.
Is this your email?
Conversations with Neil.
Oh, not yet. I get it.
Can you unsubscribe?
Yes, you have to anneal.
I have to anneal him, yeah.
Jeez.
Anneal Neil.
Anneal, yes.
Well, I have to do something. My tendency is just to throw him in the spam. Yeah.
Oh, I was unsubscribed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably good. Sometimes unsubscribe means, oh, there's somebody there. You know.
I've heard that, but I refuse to believe it.
Yeah, well, I think on something like this, it's probably fun.
You had not one, but how many conversations with God? Were there at least three volumes? Right? Conversations with God, one, two, and three.
God's very chatty.
Yeah, and the best thing you can do is harass people through email marketing to make more money? What? What did God say to you? Neil, I think it would be a good idea for you to harass people so that you could make more money.
Yeah,
like no one's
Thanks,
ever
God.
Had that idea before.
Me and God, we're like this. Thanks,
I
God.
I like that ad for the car dealer where it ends with God saying... I'm going to use the name Neil.
Yeah.
Neil, sell it for less.
Sell it for less.
I don't know. It's a Sunday morning thing I see.
Really? That's what you get for watching
it's
TV
like,
on a Sunday morning?
If you're going to lie, just lie. The most outrageous thing you can.
This is immersive. It stings you like a, you know, insect and you know, a little inflammation, a little Benadryl, you know, but then it, you know, it keeps sneaking up on you, right? Your own unencumbered nature keeps sneaking up on you because it loves itself. You love yourself. It loves you. You love it. There's no two, but, right? The recognition in what we call the primate experience of unencumbered being is very sticky. It's a lot more durable than Neil. It will bother you way more than Neil could ever hope to. It will.
It's a different type of bother.
Now you are then faced with a certain kind of challenge. Because as this bothers you and as it sneaks up on you, you just might discover through no effort that you've grown weary of your own stories.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of feel like that. I'm like just done with myself.
How does that happen? The only way that can happen is that you are nourished. The only way that happens is that you are nourished by something, namely yourself, so profoundly that you, retreat or immerse in the presence of this nourishment rather than in the drama of hyperbole, conjecture, and storytelling. That becomes non-nourishing to you.
So like Jimmy Stewart, I was going to start running. Wasn't it him?
Cary Grant.
The rear window, north by northwest.
Whoa!
the one before that was even closer.
Now,
I didn't even notice that one.
As this draws you in, sometimes loud, sometimes surreptitiously, you're going to find yourself just naturally withdrawing from the tendency or the reflex to entertain yourself or nourish yourself through story. Let's say one becomes entertained or nourished by presence, by silence, by dreaming, by lucidity itself, by wonder, by the natural erasure of the imaginary line between samsara and nirvana. Now it's going to get worse.
Oh, goody.
It has to.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse because now you're going to be invited to someone's barbecue and you're going to sit by the pool with a cool limonata and not want to talk to anybody about anything other than this, like I did last night. I went to the barbecue, made a promise. Family was there, various extended members of family, teens and young college people, and I sat by the pool. I couldn't even get into the din of conversation to greet people, which would have been the appropriate adult thing to do. I was like, whoa, way too many humans for me. Way too many. And all being delightfully, enthusiastically, lovingly affectionate and present with each other. And I was like, whoa. And just, I may have had 3 conversations all night, and each one of them, thankfully, really short.
What was that scene as being?
I don't know if they're getting used to it, or they think I'm rude, or that I need psychiatric intervention. And no one, and it's possible no one may have noticed it even at all.
Yeah, that's true too.
Who cares? Yeah, Oh yeah, she's cool. That's cool.
Well, gossip is a necessity for so many people, and so of course, you know, anything that would give them cause for.
It's going to get worse as you become nourished by the presence of unencumbered being.
Bad enough.
You are simply going to, without being rude or dismissive or special, withdraw from hysteria.
Less gets done, in my experience. I get done the bare minimum, but I'm not that driven to do anything that doesn't just really think me. I can't drive myself to produce.
Well, the drive is different, that's for sure, but I do still feel... I mean, I feel like sometimes if I'm doing what I want to do, I get bored.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yes.
The difference is I'm not going to make myself do something I don't want to do. I'm not going to work on that friggin' whatever project is in the house when it's a beautiful day and I want to work outside.
Yeah.
But I'm determined I got to finish the project.
The inner landscape can mutate so that it is Woodstock every day. I mean, you might be, you know, hovering around a busy cemetery to pick up a few pieces of fruit left behind.
What?
Yeah, I was
thinking wow. about trying to figure out what he meant by yeah. metaphor of that.
Or getting some flowers and getting
like, have you been
mother.
Following me?
Do people eat fruit for grace?
Damn it.
Let's hope so, otherwise we'll go hungry.
You must be talking about Asia.
Yeah.
Offerings.
If you
expect anything,
if you have departed from the magnificent mirage of the world, I don't know where you're headed. Ramana left home at 14, right after an apparent liberation perception, went to Arunachala, Shiva, in the Deccan Plateau, as the only place to be, and dwelled marginally.
Yeah, very.
While vermin and insects were nibbling his flesh away. In this. I'm not saying we should all wear a diaper and go, you know, get nibbled by vermin. I don't think it quite works that way. But
we wear regular clothes and get eaten by our corporate America.
Yeah, there you go. It's the same, right?
It's worse.
We're business.
Yeah, really.
We're business
That's
casual.
It's more abstract.
We're business casual and suffer mind control.
Yeah.
And be eaten by vermin.
Yeah. Right. So just be on the lookout for how your own appointment with liberation is occurring. Because no longer are we interested in what's in it for me. Right?
Yeah.
If I've graduated, big word, from the hallucination that you have ever been encumbered, if I graduate from the ameliorative tools and promises that are given me, that I pay money for, so I can have a better life, if you've graduated from the myth of that you are human, I don't know where your dreaming is going to go. You don't know where your dreaming is going to go. Isn't it curious that for so many decades we frame peace of mind as an ameliorative for the hallucination of human experience? But now we see that human experience is absolutely hallucinatory. Not in a bad or disparaging way, just happens to be hallucinatory. So now my relationship with, right, the dreaming potency of nirvana is going to just start looking a little different. Because it's no longer in response to the hallucination of suffering. Can I sell you this? Can we put this between the front and back of a paperback?
You think it sucks now? It's going to get way worse. Can you sell that?
Can you sell that? You think you're happy now? It's going to get worse.
You're not right. Standard.
Good luck.
Good luck. Absolutely. Just like the wild ocean and the wild sky and the wildlife of a enthusiastic honey badger.
Wildlife of a what?
Enthusiastic honey badger.
Oh.
You've seen the honey badger video?
Honey badger don't give a shit.
You missed that one?
Hey, hold on. You should. For dear life, too.
Let's see. Honey badger video or buck?
Yeah.
Where should we go with it? Maybe both.
Like a Wolverine.
Yeah. Look at where our conversations have organically gone since we began having these conversations. We don't return to square one. even if someone, let's say, new, we have the privilege of, you know, meeting and hanging out with someone new, we don't necessarily go back to square one. It's like we start from here and go wherever. It's like, well, either you were there when this was in an earlier stage, or you have the intelligence, the familiarity, the availability, the capacity to join in wherever this is now. Just by its nature, it becomes a little more rarefied, because our nonverbal experience with each other matures. And therefore, the metaphors that we may use to hang out become more, what would you say?
Rarefied?
Yeah, subtle and rarefied. Yeah, because the real confidence of being in this is the experiential, is the direct encounter, is the feeling tone of wonder and immeasurability. And the conversation is simply going to reflect the depth of, right, your immeasurability.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be as much of a, like, not that it ever was, but like a pulling apart or counseling. If you're already kind of in that space, then it's just a light, ridiculous conversation.
Pretty light and pretty ridiculous.
We get some good laughs.
Yeah.
Good music, good laughs.
Yeah, and a nice energetic bubble.
Yeah.
Ordered a bowl of
broccoli
cheddar soup. It's ready at the cafe counter.
There you go. Jamie.
Another opportunity.
It's a rush.
Another opportunity
to score. I got litter away.
Whoever stole the broccoli cheddar,
please return it untouched to the counter.
No questions asked.
It sounds like an announcement at camp. This is an announcement. Whoever stole the broccoli cheddar soup, buddy check.
I will not be prosecuted. Yes. Just return it.